Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to Wigan Baptist Church. Just a few announcements, then we'll open up with prayer. The month of April is our Annie Armstrong's Easter offering. Our goal is $1,500. You'll see in your bulletin an insert that explains that. Flower sign-up sheet is still on the bulletin board in the hallway if you'd like to participate in that. The flowers today, we're giving Matthew and Kim McBroom happy anniversary. Wednesday, Easter trunk-a-hunt, 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. There's a list of items needed on the table in the back: hot dog buns, individual bags of chips, canned drinks, or bottled water, bags of candy. If you haven't brought any, if you still can, we'll need them by Wednesday to have that. Sunrise at Union Springs, 7 o'clock next Sunday. Breakfast will be served. We will have Sunday school and a morning worship service, but no evening service. Continue to pray, and you'll hear more about the 155-year birthday celebration. That's April the 16th here. We'll have Sunday school and morning worship, and then we'll have There's Hope ministry dedication, lunch afterwards, and then immediately after lunch, community sing. Also remember April 30th, after the evening worship service, Taco Sunday. Bring your favorite taco toppings. So we're looking forward to that. Also, next Sunday we'll be decorating the cross here. And we'll ask you if you have any artificial flowers that will fit on the cross. Bring them Sunday morning and just put them on the front pew here. We're asking for artificial flowers. Brother David?
Tim, I was lucky that we decided where to move conference because I know we've got the trunk thing off, and I wanted to
tell you. Yes, conference. Conference will be the next Wednesday, I believe, April. Thank you, Brother David. So we will have April the 12th, we will have conference that Wednesday night. So we did, it's on the calendar, we did move that to, isn't it April the 12th? April the 12th, we'll have conference instead of having conference this Wednesday night because of the trunk of hemp hunt. Any other announcements, y'all? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord, as we continue to celebrate resurrection, Lord, and we celebrate Palm Sunday today, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that we would just be here today with hearts of worship, Lord, and realize that Jesus came to this earth, Lord. He lived that perfect, sinless life, Lord, and ultimately died on the cross for our sins, Lord. But on that third day, he rose again, Lord, so that we know that if we trust in him, that we can have everlasting life. Lord, I just want to lift Brother David up to you today, Lord, as he brings your message today. I pray, Lord, that it just moves us to be more obedient, Lord, moves us to be more trusting of our Lord and Savior. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Harold?
Most of the people out of college are from both homes where they have an addiction. This one over that ended up getting heavy into some drugs. I lost my job. I became homeless. I was constantly heat exhaustion, alcohol poisoning. I can literally say I was dying. Somehow my parents got a hold of Kay, and that's what opened up the door for me to become sober.
I met Yvonne, and she was homeless on the street. Came to Friendship House, and things began to change in her life. Baptist Friendship House is a ministry center to folks that are impoverished, to folks that are unhoused, and to human trafficking survivors. We're able to provide them a meal. We're also able to meet those basic physical needs that others may have. It opens the door to minister to those spiritual needs so that a life-changing relationship can begin with Jesus Christ. We have a creative arts time, and usually that's pottery. They'll begin to open up and start sharing things during that time.
When you sit there and you have the clay in your hand, you know what you're going to be doing with it. And but the clay doesn't know what it's going to have to go through to get to it.
Sometimes our lives are broken, and we're like just a big old lump of clay, and so lives can be molded and shaped by Jesus to be able to accomplish his perfect will. I have never seen a life change like Yvonne's, and it's just been amazing to watch God work in her life and then see how he's using her now in our ministry.
I never would have thought that I would be where I am today because I had no hope. This place saved my life.
When you give to Annie Armstrong, you have to make my ministry possible. Jesus never gives up on you, and so we should never give up on anybody else.
That's good stuff there. I'm sorry about the distraction. Tim said, Brother Harold, and I came right on, and he said, you're the only one that listens to me. So, anyway. That is good stuff, folks. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. Well, that's, I appreciate that video this morning. Well, all right, before we do the call to worship, anybody have a birthday this past week or today? We can sing happy birthday to. Well, we're breaking the record here. Well, that's okay. Well, our call to worship this morning is hymn 139. It was a misprint in the bulletin, so it's 139 if you're looking in the hymnals. If you'll please stand and sing real loud and smile real big at the cross, we'll sing first, second, and last verses.
Thank you. Were you there?
thank you, choir. I wanted to point out to you that the prayer brochure that you got in your bulletin today, the video that we saw, that was day one. Her name is Kay Bennett, and it gives you just a little bit of description about what you saw at the beginning. They provided those videos for us. I imagine if y'all will come down here every day this week, we can play one for you, and you can see all of them. But this is a very good prayer guide, something to help us. A few facts as well about our North American missions. 371 million people in North America. 350 languages. Whoever thought that the world would come to the United States, and 281 million people without the hope of the gospel. So let's pray and give. We have a worthy goal, and I know that we can make a difference in people's lives because of what we give. Beautiful cross here with the palms on it, and being Palm Sunday, so very special for us today. I'm deviating in a sense from what we've been talking about from the book of Matthew. I've been going sort of verse by verse and chapter by chapter. But today you would find some of what I have to say in all the Gospels, but also in Matthew and in Mark. But I kept going back. I've been your interim pastor for a few months now, and I kept thinking about things that I've said and done and ways that I have brought information to you as well as scripture. And I kept getting questions in my own mind as to why do we do this? Or what are we doing? Or why would the church do certain things that we do? And because I've stood here, as a matter of fact, I went back and looked. I stood here last year on Palm Sunday. This is where I preach. And I was here with you. And what I'm saying is I've been in this position many different times in many different places. And so I thought to myself, well, why is it? Why did we do that? And I want to give you just a couple of answers because it's interesting to me that we take a lot of things for granted. You know, we really don't know the day that Christ was born. We celebrate December 25th. Probably it was, let's see, I did even write that down. The December the 25th, 336 year was probably the first time that somebody actually celebrated the birth of Christ on that day. Emperor Constantine had something to do with it. He had declared that he wanted people to be Christian in that part of the world. And I thought about that because it's very possible that Jesus could have been born in April. Of all things, we could celebrate Christmas in April. And yes, I'm being a little bit facetious about that, but that's interesting the way that we will accept things and do what we've always done. I had heard in my earlier years and in the training that I had in college and seminary that Easter was decided at the Council of Nicaea. And they even put a date on that, that the Council of Nicaea was 325. And so I started looking at, and I continued to look. as many of us do, I grab the computer and then I go grab a book and I look. And as I read the things that I thought I had read all my life, I kept coming back and I would read something like this. The council failed to agree on a uniform date for Easter, and because of the objection of some delegates, did not adopt a policy on the celibacy of the clergy. That's the two comments made about the Council of Nicaea in 325. And I read that again, because it says the council failed to agree on a uniform date. Constantine, let's go back and pick on him just a minute. We're going to get around to why this matters in a minute. But Constantine really felt that all of the world should be Christianized. And this council did meet, but the history behind that is the council could not agree on a controversy called Arianism. It was convened, pulled together by this Emperor Constantine. It was a doctrine that held that Christ was not divine, but was a created being. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ was both human and divinely human and divinely spiritual. The council deemed Arianism a heresy and enshrined the divinity of Christ in a statement of faith known as the Creed of Nicaea. The reason they had this meeting was this was the first time that really anyone had addressed the thought and the idea of Christianity to the whole world. And so it was significant. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you how we do this. And I have to read this to make sure I can get it right. Okay, excuse me, I moved it. The first Sunday following the first full moon after the spring equinox, which is March 21st, when we declare that it is spring. Okay, did you get that? That's Easter next week. Palm Sunday always precedes Easter because this is considered Passion Week. The Council of Nicaea decreed, they didn't agree, but later on they accepted it, that Easter should be observed on the first Sunday following the first full moon after the spring equinox, after March 21st. Because you see, the Christians, the early Christian people that Jesus talked to, they celebrated Easter 3 days later. They celebrated it in the middle of the week and had controversy over celebrating Easter when Christ rose. They didn't agree that they necessarily should celebrate it on Sunday. Now, why does that matter? It matters because of the result. We know that whatever day we're talking about, whatever day we come in here and decided this is Palm Sunday, and next week, the 9th of April, is Easter. We know that Christ rose and defeated death. We know because our Savior lives, and we know because of that, our life is secure in Him. That's what makes a difference. That's what makes it what it should be. Easter could fall anywhere from March 22nd to April the 25th. And yes, when I was a child and a young person, that always sort of messed me up. Well, why did they change Easter? But that's what it is. It had to do. And then, you know, these adults up and changed the calendar around 350 B.C. before Christ. Palm Sunday, the reason we're here today is to understand that Christ prepared us for next week. This entire week is called the Passion Week of Christ, and we look at it, but while it is considered a triumphal entry into Jerusalem for Jesus, we have to realize that it is the first step toward the death of Christ. And that's what we're looking at. We're really talking about today the end of the week. Thursday is known as Monday, M-A-U-N-D-Y, Monday, Thursday. Friday, the death of Christ. He's in the tomb Friday night and Saturday, and Sunday he came out of the tomb. This year, when we look at that, Matthew 21 says this, "This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The prophecy is cited from Zechariah 9:9 and Isaiah 62:11. We have looked time and time again since Thanksgiving and Christmas at how these things were told and prophesied, and they came true because God was in charge. Jesus had become somewhat of a celebrity because, as we've been looking in the book of Matthew, he decided that it was time. And he started doing things that drew attention to him. He healed the blind. He raised the dead. He did things that were so miraculous that none of the wizards or sorcerers or the wise men could do. And Jesus brought attention to himself. If it was just about Lazarus being raised from the dead, this would have enraged Herod. This would have enraged the community. But we have to look. Jesus arriving on Palm Sunday, he came not as a conquering knight on a big white horse. He came on the back of a donkey. But the people were so excited, they were thrilled because they had seen all of these miraculous events. They cut palm branches and they took those and they laid them on the street. And they cheered because they were looking to end the oppression in their life. They were looking for someone to follow. But their eyes had focused on the wrong thing. Jesus had come to give us something much, much more than ending oppression, but to give us eternal life forever. Today, we're going to look at Jesus and the Passover. The actual verses we're going to look at are Mark 14, 12 through 26. I believe, yes, we've got those on the screen. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" That's a Jewish feast, and they were celebrating it was time. And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room? Where may I eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready there, prepared for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. That means they got the food ready and the wine and the cheese and the fruit and the bread. They got all that. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. Now that's important. I stop right there and say this. The 12, that meant Judas Iscariot was there with them. And as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and say to him, one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." All right, so let's hold there for just a second. I have gotten to know you folks well, and I appreciate that. I feel like I've become friends with so many of you, and you've entered my life as well. And I feel like that there are a lot of things that I could say to you and ask you to do, and things that I could encourage you to do. But I got to thinking about this, and I thought, well, you know, this is a great example. Because when you look at this, you have to assume certain things. Lorraine, I'm going to use you for an example, and she doesn't know this. Met Lorraine, first thing I found out, she was going to have a cast and a boot put on her foot. She had broken her ankle, I think it was, or her foot, that area. And I fell for her. I also fell for her because I found out she worked for Archbold Hospital. And I did that for 10 years. There's certain restraints, certain things you have to do. And we discussed things like that. And so I got to know her, and I got to know her son, Jackson, and that she had a daughter and all. But Lorraine, I want you to know that after the service today, we're going to come to your house. My wife and 12 other friends are going to come. We're going to have lunch with you today. And I really appreciate it. How absurd. Thank you, I would come, I know. Can you believe that? David Cook would pull something like that. Well, you never know. But I felt the same way when I read this passage of Scripture. Because Jesus looked at his disciples, picked to them, said, "Hey guys, go into town. Wiggum, Georgia be okay, it doesn't matter. You know, this is where we are. Go down the street and you'll find a man carrying a pitcher of water. He's probably going to Lorraine's house to get the fire started, get the cooking." Okay, it is that absurd almost. But Jesus looked at them and he told them, this is what I want you to do. Go and find this man and he said, look at him and tell him, tell the master of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? I don't have a clue how big your house is, Lorraine. But Jesus did. He knew exactly what he was talking about. And the disciples went and they saw this man and they followed him. And he said to the master of the house, where's the room? We're going to come and eat. We're going to observe the Passover. We're going to be here together. It doesn't say the man got all upset and embarrassed. It doesn't say that the man said, no way. I can't do this. We don't run an inn. Guess what, folks? This was not a motel. It was not a Taco Bell. It was not even a buffet. It was a man's home. But now, we can understand that beyond a shadow of a doubt, we know who was talking. Jesus knew what he needed. He knew the people. He knew what he needed and he knew what he could do. The Jewish feast, the Passover, this was not unusual. So the man whose house he went to, that part would not be unusual. But all of a sudden, now 13 more? Well, the disciples did do the preparation, but the room was there. It was provided. It was a part of it. Now, what we've got to look at, though, is this was supper. Okay? There's a distinction here, and that's really what I want to get at today to help you understand. This was supper. They had come in, and they did not sit around. They didn't have all the utensils that we had, but they would eat, and they had their drink, and they probably did have fruit and bread. They had cheeses. They had meat that they could eat. And they would eat family style. And we understand that because of one phrase that he uses. And he looks at them and he says in verse 18, they were reclining and eating. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. Well, that's still one out of 13 people. They began to be sorrowful, but he said in verse 20, it is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. Now, how many of you eat roast beef au jus? You have the dish, you have bread, you have roast beef, and you pass around and you dip. This is what he's talking about. The same thing. Well, there were people on both sides. There were people all around. They weren't sure exactly who that could be, but it could have been any of the 12 that he passed the dish to. But then he also says, it would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Now shift gears, because in another gospel, it gives you the story where Judas gets up and leaves because Jesus looks at him and says, you've got something to do. Jesus already knew what was in the heart of Judas Iscariot. And so he left. And it doesn't say that specifically in Mark, but it does. In verse 22 now, he says, and as they were eating, this is the symbolic portion that we think of more. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, take, this is my body. This is what he was doing. He's saying, this is what I'm giving for you. I'm going to die so that you might live. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, He gave it to them and they all drank. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in the new, and drink it new in the kingdom of God. What he was saying was, this was Thursday night, and this was going to be the last supper that Christ had with them. But he said, I'm going to drink here, but nothing else will touch my lips until I am alive again with God in heaven. So we look at that and we understand it, and it's a symbol to remember him. That's what this table is for. That's why we gather together, and why we drink the juice, and why we eat the bread, as a reminder of what Christ has done for us. And we do that because we know that this is symbolic. There are people, yes, that take everything to the extreme, and there are groups of people. There's one fancy word that I finally learned how to say it, so I try and use it every time I preach. It's called transubstantiation. And I can only say it probably one time. But what that means is a fancy word that some religions believe that when you eat that piece of bread and drink that juice, that it literally becomes the body of Christ. I'm sorry, how absurd. That's not what Christ was saying to us. He was saying, this is a symbol to you of my body and my blood. And then they had sung a hymn. They went out to the Mount of Olives. And I have to remind you, it might not have been blessed be the time. But it could have been. I'm sorry, I'm making fun of that. We follow patterns. We do things. But they did not realize, when they sat down at supper, they did not realize that they were preparing for the death of Christ. That comes this week. This time of year is also recognized as a busy, busy sports season. March Madness has its hold on many, many people, at least for the last 31 days. And it isn't quite over yet. I think it ends tonight or tomorrow. I'm not much of a sports nut, but what would you think is the most important meeting of any ball team? We have to look at that. The ball teams all do similar things, but to me, it would be called the halftime pep talk. I'm also sure that coaches and team members have other names for it, and I won't even try and presume some of those. But I do know what the main purpose is. And the main purpose is so that we see what happens here. Your team can be ahead 10 or 15 points. Or they might be slipping behind, and they might be 7 or 8 or 16 points behind. So what is the coach trying to do? He's trying to get the team up off of their rumps and get back in the game. Because half the game's over. Look, mostly with this idea of football, but it happens in almost all sports, it is time to get to action. If you're behind, the coach can be a fella that is one of these, the glass is half empty type of guy. Or what if he's one of those that the glass is half full? We can win this. We can do it if we try. We have to go back out and take control. We have to go back out and get our lives into this game and mainly get this, put points on the board. That's the only way we're going to win. That's the only way it's going to happen. this week in the life of Jesus and with his friends, everything had been going their way. Everything was doing well. Both Jesus and his disciples had healed people. They had preached, they had given sight to the blind. Jesus had cleansed the temple of the greedy merchants. This is when he had turned over the tables and told them, get out of my house. This is supposed to be a house of prayer. And you've turned it into a den of thieves. Jesus was kicking. The people who had met Jesus saw him turn water into wine. I mean, what else could be better, I guess. He had done things that no one had ever done. But Jesus, they were thinking that Jesus was coming to clean the clerk of Herod. They were going to get rid of him, and life was going to be different. Jesus chose to ride into town on the back of a donkey. Christ could have chosen that large white stallion. He could have charged into the city like a mighty warrior with all the angels from heaven and wiped out everybody that he saw. His closest friends did not realize that this week Jesus will die a cruel death on the cross. One other scripture, because people kept trying to trick Jesus. They kept trying to say, look, I know what this is. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked this. The scribe said, well, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered him, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love the Lord, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there is no other commandment greater than these. Jesus pulled all this together and said, look, this is what I'm talking about. Loving one another, following me, doing what I have asked you to do. Jesus was always one step ahead of these guys. The second part of today's scripture shows us the symbol that Jesus wanted us to remember. Judas was with them, but then he left, and Jesus shared the bread and the wine with 11. It's what we call the Last Supper, but Jesus turned it into a holy communion that we should remember in the final days. Since you come on down and play for us, but the takeaway today is very simple. Christ came the first time as a babe in a manger. You remember that. You remember what we've done and how we celebrated Christmas. A simple, small, innocent child. But I want to tell you something. He is going to come back. There is going to be a second coming. And this time, he will be coming as the King. And we have the opportunity to live with him forever in heaven and put everything in this world behind, every pain, every sorrow, every disease that we have imagined can be put behind us. And we can praise and celebrate and enjoy him forever and ever. And that's what the takeaway is today. We're going to sing, and I love this song, Room at the Cross, number 315. Because you see, there's not anyone who can be left out, because there's always enough room at the foot of the cross for Christ. Let's stand and we'll sing two of these verses.